when you look at the landscape of different, you know, guidelines, guidance, laws when it comes to artificial intelligence and Gen AI, it's a jungle out there.
Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the platform for assured integrated reporting. So it brings together financial reporting, sustainability, audit, and risk teams together for integrated reporting that's as solid as a perfectly balanced ledger where debits equal credits, just like they should. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. I'm looking forward to debiting a great conversation, and I'm so happy to have you joining us. I'm also happy once again to have Mike Gravagno and Catherine Tsai joining us today. Catherine, you want to intro yourself?
Sure. I'm not an accounting enthusiast or Diet Coke aficionado, but I like to ask questions and learn new things. And you know what? It's been a while since we've talked about generative AI. And one of the questions everyone has about Gen AI is how do you balance the risks with the rewards of using it?
Right you are, Catherine. This is Mike Gravagno, Off the Books producer and Cherry Coke addict. I almost forgot my own last name. I need Gen AI to help me out with that at some point. While we were at IIA International, we happened to run into somebody who is perfect to talk about the whole Gen AI and balancing the risks and rewards. Mark Eulerich co-authored a paper on a generative AI governance framework, which feels very needed and very important. So let's hear from Past Us and Mark now.
Mark, thank you for being here. Could you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for the chance to talk to you. My name is Mark Eulerich. I'm a professor of internal audit at the University of Duisburg-Essen in Germany. I'm doing this since 2011, so only focusing on internal audit research and accounting information systems. And I think that's the reason that I'm here, actually.
Excellent. And we know the generative AI governance framework just came out. Tell us about the need for something like this.
So from our point of view, so together with my co-authors, we identified that nearly all organizations are trying to implement Gen AI because, you know, it's such a big revolution. It's just disrupting not only the profession of auditing, but actually most of the business models. And what we also identified is that together with this type of Gen AI technology, that some new risks popped up. And that was actually the starting point for us to say, hey, we have to better understand how to identify these risks, how to monitor and give oversight over these risks, and then give some concrete guidance so that practitioners are actually able to really, you know, tackle these risks and reduce them afterwards.
What is like the most surprising risk that Gen AI has kicked up?
It sounds a little bit weird. The most surprising risk is that most of the companies do not know where Gen AI is actually implemented in their organizations.
Why is that?
You know, since it's so easy to use, nearly all of the functions in a company, so not only accounting or internal auditing, but also HR, marketing, and whatsoever, they're just saying, hey, you know, I do not know how to write this specific part of a report, so I'm just asking ChatGPT or Google Gemini or something like this. And because of this situation, you can see that the employees really, you know, want to use Gen AI for the benefits and improve their work. And because of this, you know, you can see that in nearly all organizations, throughout all the different functions, the employees are trying to really bring Gen AI into their day-to-day working routines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when social media was first becoming a thing and everyone was so excited to use it and you don't always know who's using it and how. So tell me a little bit about the process for developing the framework that you worked on.
So, of course, we are researchers. So together with my fantastic co-authors, we just tried to really tackle this topic from a research methodological point of view. So we did something like a design science research approach. We just started and went to a conference in Germany 1 year ago and just asked 200 practitioners, hey, which specific risks do you see? And then we just had a long list of risks. And afterwards, another group of practitioners just tried to, you know, identify patterns within these long list of risks. And that was actually the starting point to see, okay, we can see different groups that are connected to each other. So risks that are connected to each other. And once we identified actually this this specific structure within the risk position when it comes to Gen AI, we then thought, okay, now it's a time to identify control measures to actually reduce the specific risk in this areas. So what we then did is write down a very, very long, I wouldn't say boring, but a long document with a huge amount of information. And then once again, we validated this with totally different groups, internal auditors, external auditors, audit committee members, C-level members, regulators. And this actually helped us to validate the quality of our work. And also, it helped us to identify potential white spots or maybe areas where we actually, you know, put too much effort on, so that we can really polish everything and hopefully create an initial version that is helpful for the practitioner.
Nice. I think we touched on it a little when you're talking about creating it, but what are the key issues or challenges the framework is addressing or aims to address?
So what you can see beside this first problem that the organizations do not really have an overview, register, an inventory of Gen AI solutions in their company. One of the other big risks is that they do not have clear roles and responsibilities. So who is responsible for the implementation of Gen AI? Who is doing something like assurance or audit services when it comes to these things? And this framework should actually help, you know, practitioners. It doesn't matter in which company you are, in which industry you are, if you are working in a small and medium-sized enterprise or in a Fortune 500 company, it should help practitioners to start and think about governance structures that are required to actually address these identified risks.
How long do you think it would take an organization to go through all the steps in the framework?
It depends a little bit on the effort that you actually want to invest into this. I'm guessing that a group of whatever, two or three experienced auditors or assurance providers within a company is able to, let's say, go through these different steps in a couple of days, maybe 1 or 2 weeks. I'm not saying that they then, you know, did something like a fully fledged audit to identify every possible situation within the organization that's critical, but at least they got a very good overview. What's going on, what the combination of Gen AI and strategy is, how are the technical, what's the technical situation, something like this. So I think you have to invest time and you have to invest, you know, some of your brain capacity, because otherwise, if you just think, you know, Gen AI is a technology that's actually solving all the problems of the world, so we just keep this running on its own, then this will be a critical situation. So you have to invest at least a couple of days to really go through this.
Okay, yeah, and I like how the framework is very well laid out in terms of, it's very prescriptive. You don't have to guess too much. You all have done the work, so that's impressive.
It makes sense because it's so new that I feel like people need it to hold their hands a little. So that is, yeah, it makes sense.
And it's also not a one-time thing. It's not like you do it once and then you're set.
Yeah, so from our point of view, I think that whenever you had this initial, you know, let's call it an audit to really identify the pain points within the organization, then you set up, you're really using this framework. I think afterwards you can just, you know, do this regularly, maybe quarterly, maybe twice per year, maybe once per year. It really depends a little bit on the dynamics within the organization. You know, if you are from a specific industry that's heavily pushing into IT, and into new software solutions and into AI, then maybe you do this let's say assessment more regular than if you are in more traditional industry and you know you just have bought one AI solution and then you're rolling this out. So I think this depends a little bit on the setup, and I know that this is not the optimal answer. It depends. Always means like yes and no, but to be honest, it really depends on the setup of the specific organization.
Okay. Now, in terms of what might make a legal team or risk managers a little bit nervous, things like AI bias, issues like privacy or security concerns, how does the framework approach those challenges?
So we have different components, different control mechanisms within the framework to at least identify potential biases and potential ethical whatever problems within the Gen AI systems. From my point of view, what is problematic is that you know, when you use OpenAI, when you use Google, when you use Meta solutions whatsoever, the models are already trained, right? So they're trained with data, and normally you cannot identify which specific documents are the basics for this data set.
Right, right? No citations.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And because of this, you cannot easily you know, look into the initial data, into the training data, and say, hey, that's a problem because this will create an ethical bias. So what you have to do here is really, you know, try to use the Gen AI solution to get to these points where you identify potential ethical risks or something like this.
As technologies continue to evolve, how do you envision the framework also evolving?
So our plan is actually to regularly update this framework based on also the feedback from the practitioners. Because doing this research is one thing, and then we normally end up with a research paper, and hopefully that's getting published somewhere, hopefully in a good journal. But you can see that because the environment is changing so fast, the technological solutions are changing so fast, we also have to be careful that this is updated regularly so that, you know, companies understand it's maybe not on a daily basis, but it's addressing most of the common problems that we see right now in the current situation. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
For orgs looking to implement the framework, do you have key recommendations or things they need to consider?
Motivation and time. And I know that this sounds a little bit weird, but we really need in the organizations people who are willing to do this.
Sure.
Because if they are motivated and say, hey, I see the risk, I like the technology, but I think we should spend more effort on the governance topics, then this will be something where it can really be successful as an organization, right? So you need this motivated colleague or two or three of them, and then you need some time at least to go through the framework, understand it, maybe go through the different dimensions and really think, is this relevant for us, yes or no? And then afterwards really say, okay, now we're ready to go and we just want to start with this framework and, you know, really implement, let's say, the different components.
In your mind, what is a big motivator for internal audit teams to be the instigator?
So, fantastic questions. There are multiple perspectives. Just think about this. The traditional stereotypes of internal auditors, they are still something like a, you know, outdated, uncool profession. You can see that that this is quite often a stereotype that,
yeah,
that especially the auditees would bring together with internal auditors. So, you know, this discussion about what is the great value, what is the added value of internal auditing, this is always there in the profession. And I think with this framework and internal auditing pushing actually the organization into the governance of Gen AI, you can be this tiny little piece that is relevant, that the whole clockwork actually works. Because we need someone who's actually able to do this assessment, evaluation, audit of these Gen AI technologies. And this is a unique chance for internal auditors. So you have a unique chance to, you know, find your position and say, if the organization wants to really force this AI development, you need someone as the assurance provider, and internal auditing can be this function. And because of this, is from my point of view, a unique chance for internal auditors to do this and get out of your old stereotypes.
Yeah.
I know that this is not, you know, our stereotypes, but
right, we're in it. We know it can be hip.
Well, I wanted to sneak in one more question. What sort of feedback have you gotten at IIA International and just in general for this framework from actual internal auditors?
Yeah, so we validated this framework with more than 1,000 professionals, and we just got, of course, I have to say this, but it's true, we really got some very, very positive feedback. Because right now when you look at the landscape of different, you know, guidelines, guidance, laws when it comes to artificial intelligence and Gen AI, it's a jungle out there. And sometimes these frameworks are super global galactic and you have no chance to transfer this actually to your daily work. And sometimes, you know, the NIST framework on cybersecurity and AI, that's fantastic. But it's only tackling some very specific parts of this whole technology. And the feedback that we got is, hey, it's great because it's, you know, it's a hand-on guidance. You can really directly use the PDF file and just go and start with your assurance activities.
Good job. Good job on the framework. We like to end our interviews with like a wackier closing question. So I've been thinking, we talked a lot about artificial intelligence. So what is your favorite movie or TV show or book about AI or robots?
Oh, that's a complicated one because, you know, when I will talk about the risky side of all of these technologies, of course, I would say Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But, you know, I think more and more. So I'm a video game person and I have a collection of vintage video games in our house. And my wife loves that we have a room full of old video games from the 80s and 90s. But currently I'm also playing together with my daughter. And when we play these type of things, She's 6.5, 7 years old, and she's turning 7 in a couple of weeks. And you can really see that she's trying to understand how the computer, the video game actually moves and behaves and what this AI is actually doing.
Yeah.
And I think that this is, from my point of view, the biggest link between, you know, this technology and some fun stuff.
Yeah.
So I do not have a concrete book or... I like Star Wars, but you do not, you know, when you look at the original Star Wars movies, so the episodes 4 to 6, you only see this 1970, you know, monitors in the different X-Wings and stuff like this. So it's not really AI, right?
Yeah.
But I think you can see that when you look at, for example, the video game development, the evolution of the last years, you can see how smart the systems are actually, and I think that this is a perfect example how cool this technology can actually be in our normal lives. So that's a long answer for this weird question, but I hope
that was
interesting.
Yeah, very much. Mark, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for the chance. Thanks.
Thank you again to Mark Oilerick, and thank you, dear listener. That's right, I'm talking to you and only you for surfing along with us. And you know what? Thank you to Gen AI, who helped us with the rest of this outro. I'm Mike Revenue. You heard Steve Soda and Captain Psy, and this has been Off the Books, presented by Work.
Please subscribe and follow us so you can catch all of our upcoming episodes.
Now, Gen AI may not get everything perfectly, and we might not get everything perfect as well. If we haven't, we would love to hear from you. So please leave a review, tell your buddies if you like the show, and if you're watching on YouTube, drop us a note in the comments, or you can always email us at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.